Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 160. Tom, hello!
Hi!
Pardon, I'm still preparing. I'm ready.
I love that both of us have got notes on different devices. You've got iPad, phone, I've got phone, laptop.
Yep.
And we're constantly checking between the two of them.
Beep, boop, boop.
beep, boop.
We don't have much in the way of notes.
No.
Full disclosure,
no.
I've got a couple of bullet points and that pads out an hour.
So you know at the beginning of next year,
yeah.
2021, we'll have the top five with Mick.
Yes.
Which we did last year as well. I don't have notes. I just have the names of my top five.
Yep.
Well, I've got about seven.
I think I've got nine and then a whole bunch of notable mentions. It's difficult to whittle.
It is, isn't it? Because I'm sure we'll talk about this, but it was difficult to remember some from earlier in the year. So I had
I've
to
got
have
some
a bit
stuff
of a look
on this list then, that you're going to go, wait, are you sure that was this year? And
yeah.
Then it was this year.
Because it's 2020 and that's all bizarre. I'm really in the Christmas spirit at the moment. So I've got some Christmas watching suggestions for us.
Cool.
So I've actually got Stephanie Christopher from the podcast Tech Live coming in a little bit later on. So we can sit down and have a chat about really bad but yet great Christmas movies. We'll be doing that a little bit later on. A Christmas quiz. We did one last week as well.
Yes.
This one's a little more general though. It's not like, hey, specifically talk about this Christmas city.
All right.
It's just Christmas questions.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. As Christmas planning ramps up right across our town, Marjorie Ramsey Oliver is imploring all trifle makers to remember that while green jelly looks festive, it tastes disgusting. Instead, she recommends a robust port wine or raspberry flavour. She also rather curtly told us that cream is not an appropriate substitute for custard, and that if there are members of the family who'd prefer to just consume whipped cream from a can, they can do that and leave the trifle for those who appreciate the traditional pairings of ingredients. Organisers foresee no issues with this year's lighting of the town's huge Christmas tree. They've taken Santa's approach and checked everything twice, and they have bet their stockings on nothing going wrong with the event. This news has filled Watchersville residents with confidence, as there has not been a year since the tradition started 126 years ago where some disaster or another has not happened. We, of course, all remember last December's shocking turn of events when the tree stood up and walked out of the town. That was quite unexpected. The library has upped the amount of books members can borrow over the Christmas and New Year break. This is to help with people who haven't hit their Goodreads Reading Challenge quota yet and need to cram in the final days of the year. Head librarian Heather Smalls said that they have put a shelf teeming with short stories all under 50 pages each at the front door. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Shall we get into the news?
Yes, let's do the news.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to get straight up with you.
Yeah.
All that Disney stuff.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming and I haven't written about it.
That's all right. You would think that I would have lots of notes on it. I don't. It was too much.
It was too much.
They made over 100 announcements. If you want to find out about them, go and look for yourself.
You do it yourself.
Here's my highlights.
Yeah.
There's enough Marvel shows coming at the beginning of the next year that I think for something like 18 weeks in a row, we'll have a new Marvel TV show every Friday night. Awesome.
It's just such a different switch now from Disney where you're like, oh, I'll go on and watch an old movie, you know, yep. I'll go and watch it. And now suddenly, bam, 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 bam,
they
bam,
were
bam.
Very clear with launch and stuff. They were like, it's for the first year, there's going to be Mandalorian and a few other surprises,
yep.
But it's mainly about the old content.
Yeah.
This new stuff's coming. And this announcement was all, it's about to be here, which is awesome. Plenty of stuff
awesome.
For a long time coming.
Well, do we want to sort of throw out our highlights, like stuff that, maybe two or three things that we're looking forward to.
Sure. My number one is there'd been talk about Akiva Schaffer, who's the director for The Lonely Island, that he would be working on a new Chip and Dale property, and they revealed that as a film of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers live action animation hybrid, so think like Space Jam,
yep.
That sort of stuff.
Yep.
Or they may be CGI, and Chip and Dale will be voiced by John Mulaney and Andy Samberg respectively. It also, and this is very nerdy behind-the-scenes stuff, but DuckTales recently wrapped their series, and they spent a lot of the most recent series introducing the characters from Darkwing Duck and expanding the universe out further. So there is a Darkwing Duck show coming. Seth Rogen is involved with that show.
Oh, wow.
They've said that Seth Rogen will be involved in this Chip and Dale thing as well.
Yeah.
So it really looks like they're starting to do the Disney animated Saturday morning expanded universe
stuff. Perfect. Happy with that. Yep. That sounds great. I was excited to see that Willow is getting a series. I remember watching that a lot as a kid, so very excited about that. And, of course, you know, we all were, like, throwing praises at Rosario Dawson when she was in The Mandalorian, got her own series.
Yep.
And that's probably – they're the two things that I'm looking forward to. But, of course, there's so much else in there that I probably – I reckon I've missed a lot of the news stories from that day.
Sure. I went and did deep dive. Chris Evans is playing Buzz Lightyear.
Cool.
But not the Buzz Lightyear toy. The actual Buzz Lightyear that the toy is based on. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Go and have a look for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've
exactly.
got other news to talk about.
Well, look, I'm going to throw a bit of a story of woe. The Witcher had to shut down again because Henry Cavill hurt himself. He hurt his leg, so he was he's in a harness doing some sort of action thing 20 feet up. What's 20 feet? About 10, 12 metres, something like that? Maybe
6
metres? I actually don't know the conversion.
Isn't it about 3 feet to a
metre? To a metre? Yeah, okay, that makes more sense then. 12 metres does sound like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, he somehow hurt his leg. I'm suspecting he's pulled something, like maybe accidentally did the splits or something.
Sure.
So they're kind of having to wait a bit for him to not hobble around the set.
Hmm.
But this is, I think, the third time it's had to be shut down.
Yeah.
I think.
Keep getting struck.
The other two were COVID-related things. This is a sore leg, but.
Hopefully they can continue filming stuff that he's not needed for.
Yeah.
Keep cracking.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep going.
Did you know that listening to this podcast gives you immunity against energy vampires? Keep listening to We Are The Watchers.
Cameo revealed their top earner of 2020 was Brian Baumgartner, who you might know as Kevin from The Office, the very tall
guy.
He made just over $1 million this year on Cameo.
Holy dooly.
He puts in a lot of effort and work and stuff like that.
And the word's gotten out.
The word's gotten out, and he does very funny stuff. The number two earner was Mark McGrath, who you might know as the singer from Sugar Ray. He's also been big on E! Network for many, many years and stuff.
Yeah, presenter of some description. That surprises me. Didn't expect that one.
I know. It's really cool. If you look at a bit of a break, I mean, you look at it and you think it would be like Draco Malfoy or some, you know, one of the big name people that they're always pushing, but instead it's the people that are putting in a lot of work and actually making interesting videos rather than just very flippant ones.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I also think that the Cameo, for me, like if I was going to get Cameo for someone, I'd be looking for the niche thing that I know that person loves and hasn't thought about or, you know, that's their like quirky obsession.
Yep. My favorite one is I talk about John Mulaney a lot. He has a bit that he talks about. What's the one? Is it NCIS that Ice-T is on? SUV. He's on SUV. So he has a bit about SUV being about Ice Cube being confused about the idea of addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a clip from the show that he talks about where Ice-T lists several forms of. Oh, you mean like when someone can't stop spending all their money into horses and things like that? So someone then got Ice-T to perform the segments from John Mulaney's bit and then showed that to John Mulaney and stuff like that. So it became this awesome thing of bringing a comedy bit to life using people and stuff like that. So there's some very creative uses that the fans are getting people to do.
Yeah.
And then there's always good ones of like tricking Hulk Hogan into endorsing like former Australian serial killers and things. He's been doing that for years.
With just no idea.
Oh, just someone like, hey, can you give a shout out to my buddy Ivan Milat? He's having a tough week.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, Ivan Milat, I believe in you and what you're doing. All this sort of stuff.
It'd be so easy to trip people up like
and
that.
Hulk Hogan has no.
He's not doing research.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. I saw that Matt Smith, who was the 11th
Correct.
Doctor. Yeah. He is or has been cast as a Targaryen in, what are they calling it? House of the Dragon, I think, the HBO prequel for...
Ye Olde Got.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So like, I read that book and I think, I'm sure I would have spoken about it, that it read very much like, almost like an encyclopedia, but of people that didn't exist.
Mm.
So there's a lot of, and then this person married this person and then that person died and then their kids that were named the same. So that new version of that person is now, and you're just like, oh. Like at one point in time, there was a Daenerys there. I'm like, that'll be interesting. See what the other Daenerys got up to.
Not much.
I think she died when she was about 2.
Well, I believe the king in that is being played by Paddy Considine.
Yes.
And Matt Smith, and a lot of the other names aren't quite big. But that was the same with Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. So Matt Smith, I did do a little bit of a look at who he is. And he, it's really weird because I think he's like the grandson, if I'm remembering correctly, or the grandson of the king. But I don't think he was the original king's grandson. So maybe he's not coming in the beginning or else they're going to be flashing back and forth. It has been a while since I read it as well, but
I hope he gets to wear a fez or a bow tie.
That'd be great.
That was his catchphrase. That was his thing. That was his doctor saying, can I wear a fez now? Fezes are cool.
Well, you know that the Game of Thrones fans are not. I haven't seen anybody pick up on this, but he said he's looking forward to riding a few dragons. Well, of course, Game of Thrones people would know that Targaryens and their dragons bond, and that's your dragon. You're not like, what day of the week it is. Like, how many times did Daenerys ride on the other dragons?
Yeah.
She didn't.
No. I have a feeling that whoever he plays will seem lovely at the beginning and then will end up being a twisted fuck up.
Because Game of Thrones.
Well, because of Game of Thrones, but also if you've seen Matt Smith in pretty much anything other than being the Doctor or what's that, The Crown, if you've seen him in things other than that, he's always a malicious.
Sure.
He looks like an imp. But he's always up to shit.
Yeah.
Kind of same thing David Tennant has done since he was the Doctor. So many of Tennant's roles have been really dark, horrible people. Jessica Jones and stuff.
He also did a lot of like murder mystery kind of.
Yeah, Broadchurch.
That's it, which was pretty dark by all accounts as well. I just can't get that excited about this Game of Thrones.
Nah.
I'm kind of moved on.
We did it.
Yeah.
That show's done.
And
the
also...
You ruined the ending, so it took the luster off.
We know what the ending is. We know what the ending of this one is.
Yeah, we know they're going to be psycho.
Yeah.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I got two trailers for you.
Ooh, okay.
Do you want the upbeat one or the poof one first?
Poof.
Poof, okay. So I'd heard rumblings of this film and I've been excited to see something for it. The trailer finally dropped the other day for Nobody, which is a new film from the writers and a lot of the stunt people and everyone involved with John Wick.
Oh, right, okay.
Starring Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And former comedian and this sort of stuff. And some thieves break into his house one night and beat him up a little bit in front of his wife and kid, who no longer respect him because of what happened. He didn't fight back. And it's wants the shit that was taken back and snaps and goes on a vigilante beat 'em up craze.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he used to be an accountant for some very, very bad people who when they say accountant, it means he tied up the loose end numbers. So basically, it sounds like he's a mix of Liam Neeson in Taken and just a straight up mercenary assassin who buried that lifestyle 12 years ago to get married and spends every day doing yoga and meditation and things to keep the beast inside.
Mm.
And these idiots break into his house and unleash the beast.
Wow.
And the trailer looks hardcore.
Yeah, really?
And it's like average schlub Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
With a dad bod. For 2 years before the film shot, he trained in secret, learning different martial arts and all about stuff that not to make him ripped, but to make him look like he used to be ripped. And
that's
now he's
so
wearing
specific.
It's this whole mentality of this is forgotten skills coming back.
Yep.
And the bit that I'm most amped for when there was an interview with him and they said, what are you bringing different in this role other than, you know, being a comedy and stuff? He's like, it's not a comedy. The most difficult thing for me was keeping a straight face and not being involved and not, you know, my whole character every time the time has a twinkle in the eye, I'm in the joke with the audience. Mm. That's not the case in this film. The other thing I wanted was every punch I take, I reel from. I don't want to be an action hero who takes a punch and keeps moving. Every punch needs to look like it makes me worse off.
Feels real.
Yep. And you see a bit of that in the trailer. There's one bit where someone smashes a glass over the back of his head and he moves a way I've never seen an action movie done. Of just, oh, dear God, what happened?
Yeah, right.
And then like Jason Bourne's back into it. But it's this, yeah.
It sounds like he's pushed himself in a whole heap of different ways for this movie.
Well, he has been.
From acting to.
Yes. And he's played a seething madman so many times in different comedy sketches. And, you know, he's like, God damn it.
Yeah,
like that
yeah.
anger, that, yeah. that unbridled rage is his thing. So to have a character that's festered for so long and is finally coming out.
Wow, he's doing stuff.
I'm very excited for this film.
No, nobody.
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 Yeah. And the tagline's never underestimate a nobody.
Ah, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then the other trailer is very throwaway, but I'm excited for this. Netflix, December 21st. Ariana Grande is dropping a tour movie.
Don't mind if she does.
Called The Sweetener Tour. So that's going to be from last year because that was last year was Sweetener album. She's had an album since then.
She's been busy.
She drops an album most years. And I got, you know, I got a lot of time for my Ari.
Oh, yeah.
I own multiple Ariana hoodies and T-shirts and Shea loves her and stuff. So we are there for that.
You're the family of Ariana Grande fans. But that's a great time to release that because, you know, people are going to get together, hang out with family, eat a lot of food, want to then relax on the lounge, may not want to watch a whole heap of Christmas movies. Like that's a good Christmas night thing to do.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Yeah. Easy breezy. Look. I imagine most of it, or all of it won't be easy breezy just because of the nature of Ari and the things she's been through.
Yeah.
And the Sweetener tour. A lot of it is, you know, she wrote a song about having a panic attack and how to breathe through that or things like that. So some of it will be a bit heavy. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of, you know, a few tears before they go on stage of where a team will do this. Exactly. You want to feel the whole emotional gamut.
That sounds interesting. That's on 21st, you said.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's 21st local or 21st in the US.
Okay.
But around then.
Around then, yeah. We're all busy doing other stuff anyway. We'll catch up with it.
I will watch that 10 times before I watch this bloody folklore Taylor thing on Disney Plus.
I am loving that Taylor Swift gif, though, where she looks up at the camera knowingly and glances back down again. It's almost like from a kid's TV show. Almost like that, oh, what was his name? Tom Hanks played him.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, it's almost that kind of thing. Hello, kids.
I love some old Taylor, but I hate this new, they call it cottagecore.
Ooh, I've never heard that before.
I don't know if you've heard the two albums she's put out this year. It's just acoustic guitar, sitting around a campfire shit.
People are loving it, though.
Yeah, they can jog on. You're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion is wrong.
You're wrong.
I appreciate that she's putting out music for her fans and trying something different. She sounds happy. Maybe she got married in secret.
I know she's dating someone. I think he's an English bloke, so maybe that's where it's from.
So he's been writing the albums with her. Yeah. But yeah,
yeah,
she put out photos of her in what looked like a floral gown wedding dress the other day.
Oh, really?
Whoa, connect the dots.
They all went mad with craziness. I really feel like I've jumped far away from the music scene that I don't know anything. I feel like people would say to me, of course, you know, Taylor Swift is teaming up with the 25 Grammy Award winning Bobberson. And I'll be like, sorry, who?
I love that I could say a sentence right now, like off the top of my head. Man, did you hear that new Doja Cat and FKA Twigs jam? That just has no context.
There's no context. I'll be like, is that anime? Everything.
My top tip for horse racing is Megan Thee Stallion.
Is Megan the Stallion related to Megan Trainor?
No, she's a friend of Nicki Minaj and they sing about their WAP.
WAP.
How did you avoid WAP? Oh my God.
Is that some sort of internet thing?
Oh, everybody, I'm going to watch her face as she finds out what WAP stands for.
Do I Google it now?
Please do.
Okay.
While I'm looking at you. Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
WAP, what mean?
Nicki with an I.
N-I-C.
Webster. K-I. Oh, okay.
N-I-C-K-I.
Not Webster. I've forgotten what her name is.
M-I-N-A-J.
There she is. Okay. You know what? I have heard of this, but I don't think I went into any details.
You clearly didn't, because you'd remember what WAP stands for.
Vulgarity?
Yeah. So that's a whole song about...
What I love, though, is also on Google, it tells you that it's a wireless access point.
Sure.
It's got both of them.
Well, this is a great kids bop. Who are that band that do kid friendly covers of songs? They did a song called Wings so and Pizza.
That is so funny.
I want my wings and pizza. I get that wings and pizza. Well, there you go, everybody.
Leah just
got hip and down.
I'm cool with the kids again.
Yep.
Yep.
WAP.
You know, very shortly, I will know the beginning and end of those songs and I'll be able to talk up to the lyrics.
Boom.
Don't smash them. Is that enough news?
It is.
Okay.
Hey, for Tom appreciation segment this week, we're not doing one. That's the appreciation we're giving. We're appreciating me by giving me a break.
Tom, we appreciate you.
Bam! I just put my one finger in the air like it was the end of
Breakfast Club. Big girl Chloe does that now. She doesn't know she's doing it as a reference, but she does it all the time and it is hilarious.
Nice.
You just go, yay, and she just does it and freezes in midair.
I once left a job and the last thing that anyone saw of me, like I went and put all my stuff in the car, then came back and said goodbye loudly and turned around and did that and freezed.
I've got so much time for that. That is amazing.
For good.
But I will do a quick shout out to you as a Tom appreciation segment. I was going to say society then.
We live in a society.
It's just the next week, Christmas Eve, we've got a very special episode coming out. It's a live audio play.
Yes.
It's Christmas themed, obviously. And I just wanted to do a shout out because you play one character.
Yes.
But the accents, plural, that you do are so funny because I've finished it. It's edited. It's
ready to
go.
Can you still tell it's me doing silly accents?
Yeah. But what I love, there's so much of it. But even just the beginning, like there's not even a, because you weren't given the script.
No.
You had no idea who you were, what the story was about. I gave you the script and we started, right?
Yep.
And you didn't miss a beat. You were in, the accent was happening. It was hilarious. A lot of time for
it. Got to come in hot.
A lot of time for
I'm, you know, I like to come in hot.
You just got
to
embrace it. Mm-hmm. You just got to embrace that kind of thing. That very funny episode. Make sure you download it. It's well worth your time. It'll be out here 4 a.m. Christmas Eve. So
fuck, that is your Christmas miracle.
Yeah, that really is a Christmas miracle.
Pop that in your ears, so baby funny. Jesus.
It's so funny. I've listened to it twice and I was laughing, and I was there when it happened.
Mm.
So funny. Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Yes.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Can we please talk about Mandalorian?
Of course.
What a...
Bill Burr.
Yep.
Bringing the thunder.
Yep.
I like that there's pissed off Bostonians in Star Wars universe.
Yeah, that's right. What I really enjoy about this season of Mandalorian is each episode I am genuinely... surprised when we see a character that we've already seen before come back in to help him,
sure.
Even though almost every episode that has happened.
Yep.
So when I saw him, I was like, what? Amazing.
Do you think he will probably end up in that Rangers of the New Republic show with Cara Dune? They seem to be telegraphing that.
Yeah, it has to be, right? Like he's wandered off to hang out with the people of that planet. Who wanted nothing to do with the mining that was happening. So,
and I feel like we should dance around the big spoilery moment because
yeah,
if anyone's not seen that, that's kind of the culmination of two seasons right in that moment.
And I'm going to dance around it by trying to make a point about it while still not spoiling it.
Yeah, don't hang your hat on the point.
No. I definitely won't do anything like that. But just before something happened... In that episode, I went, they probably won't do that because I've already kind of done that. And then they did it and I went, oh, okay. Yeah, they did once again telegraph that that was going to be something that was going to happen.
As soon as they talked about it earlier in the episode, I was like, oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For a while too.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And a very good unsettled acting. He did not look comfortable in his skin.
No.
One bit.
No, it was, yeah, great episode. Obviously didn't see our little buddy.
No. That's the first episode he's not appeared in.
I was a bit uncomfortable about that.
I was all right. It makes us more invested in the mission to get him back.
Agreed.
If we don't see him. If we see him, we know he's okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What a cast of...
That is a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
So much going on in his friend circle now. It's impressive. So, this show's so fun. It's so fun to watch. Thumbs up to everybody involved. And I'm hoping that... I know not all of the new Star Wars series will be as good, but even if we get... two or three of them.
I know. And what they banged on about is their intention is to try and make a Star Wars property for everyone, not try and make every Star Wars property for everyone, which is what the most recent trilogy truly suffered from, was trying to tick all the boxes. Instead, carve it up. So that's why you're getting a Lando show. That's why you're getting a continuation of Clone Wars. All these things over there.
Because, I mean, I think we've spoken about this before, but I... don't know all the lore from the animated series because I.
So the Bad Batch wouldn't have meant anything much to you.
No,
that trailer.
Because I've tried to watch some of the Star Wars animated stuff in the past, and I just don't feel it.
There's so much of it.
Yeah, and it's a bit daunting. Yeah. I would love to know the backstory so that when I'm watching, you know, The Mandalorian or anything else that's coming up, I'll be like, oh, this is but I just can't get into them. And I've realized that that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
I'll enjoy the surprises when they happen.
I think they're still missing an opportunity to have a The Galaxy's Got Talent type show, and that's hosted in the Mos Eisley Cantina, or you put it in Jabba's Palace and Jabba is the thing. And you have Salacious Crumb, he's this little guy off to the side, and just have different musicians come in, kind of like the Masked Singer, but under heavy Star Wars prosthetics, and then we, as the viewers, got to work out who they are. They go, free idea, Disney, take that.
Already pictured Bruno Mars in there.
It was a fantastic. He's pretty good on social, and he put up a post last week when the weekend was bad mouthing the Grammys. Mm-hmm. He's like, "This is bullshit. I should have been nominated." Bruno Mars put up a photo of him doing the point, like the roll deep, saying, "Hey, you can't win a Grammy. You can't lose a Grammy if you didn't put out music this year." It's just because if Bruno Mars puts out music, Bruno wins an Emmy, Grammy that year.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a baller move from him.
Do you think his next album, do you think he'll still be wearing the silky pajamas?
No.
That's a whole new look coming.
He brings out new looks for new albums and that's...
that's done.
It's not going to be the vibe he's going to bring.
Sure.
I don't think...
sure.
Everyone's in pajamas these days, so he needs he'll go... suit and tie.
Yeah, and he looks good in suit and tie. He's worn that before. We've seen that. What else have you been watching this
week? I watched one that was really fun. It was over. So it was one of Adult Swim's infomercial specials, which are those 11-minute pilots that they run and stuff like that. It was called A Life in Questions, Wisdom School with Aaron Chen. Now, Aaron Chen is an Australian comedian, Asian comedian, or Asian-Australian. He has a mullet type thing going on and a very... downplayed demeanor. And I promise you'd have seen him stuff. He's done a lot.
I think I have.
He's a great comedian, but he's popped up a lot on your Hungry Beast and different Australian comedy shows. He's a killer interviewer. And so the premise of this show is that he is now running a wisdom school, training people how to be better interviewers.
Perfect.
And it's just a flimsy setup for him to string together different vox pop stunts of going and interviewing people in the street and just asking ridiculous questions. His signature move is when he's finished asking questions, he throws the microphone violently into the bin. And it happens over and over to the point where he will ask someone a question, they answer, and then he three pointers the microphone like way off into a bin in the distance and stuff.
I've got a lot of time for that. That is really funny.
It's so, this show is hilarious. It was ballers. As I said, it's only 11 minutes. I don't know if it doesn't need, he doesn't need to return to that format. But it spoke very highly of Aussie comedy.
Yeah, well, that's good because Auntie Donna is sort of out there. I've actually heard on American podcasts that they've been talking about Auntie Donna. So
yep.
If that's opened the door for more ridiculousness
yep.
in the world of entertainment, bring it on. I'm happy with that.
Look, if you live in Aussie, if you're an Aussie, watch it because you get to play Spot the Landmarks.
Yep, yep.
And it's great to see him. Like, oh, look at him. He's down there bothering people in Hyde Park. Yeah. Oh, look at him popping down near the pig. On, what's that? You know, the bronze pig?
The boar near the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm, on Macquarie Street?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. You just go and rub that nose for good luck.
Yeah, you have to.
Have to.
On your way down to the Domain for whatever free concert used to be on.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was Adult Swim over the weekend just passed, and I know a few people involved in the behind the scenes of it, putting together and stuff like that. So congrats to everyone involved. It was a very silly idea that just really came together to be something much stronger for the sum of its parts.
Look, as long as it kept everybody chuckling, that's...
Yeah, I had some really, like, really hearty laughs.
I like when that happens.
Yeah, there's some good chuckles, and I've seen plenty of stuff lately that's had good chuckles.
Yeah,
This had a few, like, proper guffaws, you know.
Amazing.
Mm. Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, get out. I'm not having you in here for this conversation because you haven't watched enough Christmas stuff. Instead, I've got a Christmas aficionado, Stephanie Christopher from Tech Live Podcast.
Yes, Mrs. Claus to you, Leah.
That's right. You're almost wearing red.
Oh, yeah, almost. Sort of a coral red.
That's right. It's the 2020.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And another Stephanie, a.k.a. my sister, was telling me the other day that she really likes the colours of 2020. It's more pastel, like Miami Vice, but trendier. And I went, okay.
Right, okay. Do you know, I worked, this has got nothing to do with Christmas, but in my Christmas holidays at uni, I worked in dress shops.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and my sister worked in another kind of brand, and we used to say, right, name the colours, and they were jade, whatever. I can remember there was a turquoise. There was a whole list of colours, and you had to name them.
That really specific to
important.
A year, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm not even going to name the year.
Well, during Christmas uni break for me, I was working at, do you remember those Leonard's chicken shops?
Yeah, totally.
So I was there, and I must have really enjoyed the pressure and stress of life, because as the month went on, more and more people were ordering turkeys.
Yeah, turkey. Yeah.
And it was in a place where people were quite well off.
Yeah.
So they would like a lot, and you're like, well, you know, this is going to cost around this much.
That's funny.
And half of them go, yeah, it's okay. And then others will, of course, inevitably on the 24th have a panic attack that they've ordered, you know, 20 kilos of turkey and it costs more than $100.
Isn't that great? Well, I'm the one actually waiting for my paycheck tomorrow.
Ooh.
And have to buy my daughter's birthday cake on a credit card this afternoon.
Okay, fantastic, exciting.
So speaking of poor at Christmas time. Yeah.
So when's the birthday?
Today.
Oh, right.
So I can't wait until payday.
You might have to pop into Woolies and grab yourself one of those cakes.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing. Well, something.
That's exciting. But we are here to talk about Christmas movies, because I think there are two types of watching genres that get me in the spirit. Christmas movies and cooking shows that have Christmas specials.
Jamie Oliver.
Yes.
Bring the kids in.
Yep.
The more lavish the decorations, like red and green, bring in gold and you've got me. Couldn't agree more.
Do you remember there was that series of Jamie Oliver's Christmas year or two ago, and it was all white? Everything in the background was white. Like,
beautiful.
Looked like paper cutouts.
Beautiful. And food I would never eat, but I just want to see it being made.
How long ago was it when you realised that Clementine was not a name but a fruit? Because well, Jamie taught me that.
Oh, my darling Clementine. It's actually both.
Yeah. It's an orange
but
sort of.
But, you know, that's a whole, speaking of North American or Northern Hemisphere Christmas.
Yeah.
My husband's Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
And he talks about his Christmas stocking having mandarins and walnuts in it.
What a terrible Christmas present.
Ridiculous is that? I'm just rolling my eyes going, well, that's not Christmas. So I think they think that's good.
Yeah, okay. Oh, poor things.
Yeah.
Should we let? No, we shouldn't let them know.
No.
I'm sure they're not listening.
No. Well, I can guarantee
He's not listening. Okay, fantastic. All right, so where have you found this year the greatest treasure trove of Christmas movies?
Netflix. Mm. Haven't had to go past Netflix.
Yeah.
And you know, you watch one,
yeah,
you stumble on one,
yes,
and then it offers you basically the same thing.
The analytics are going right in there for you.
It is. It's just my 2020 comfort, warm, you're safe now.
Yeah. Happy, you're on the home stretch.
Happy, happy place. You're on the home stretch. And everything will end up just as well as it does in the Christmas.
Yeah, that's
movie.
Right. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same. So did you start before December?
Yeah. Years ago, my husband and I stumbled across Christmas in Connecticut with Diane Cannon and Burt Reynolds.
Diane Cannon.
An old movie. And she was a TV host or whatever and had to fake that she could do Christmas. And
yeah, right.
And it was kind of a like the Today Show or something, the whole thing. That was the beginning of it for me, I think.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, if you can find it, that's a beauty.
Side note, I do remember that she was married to Cary Grant.
Yes.
She had a daughter whose name I can't remember, and she was in Beverly Hills 90210. She was Steve Sanders.
So you know,
love interest. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that movie, I think I've probably seen.
It's good.
It would be on television every year, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know. I haven't found it since. I think it's on one of those channels, like a...
Yeah, the ones that they play at 3 p.m. yeah, when you're not there.
Yeah, I get you. I have a friend who's found it.
Oh, yeah.
But what I've found in the numerous Christmas movies I've watched, it seriously is a genre. Mm-hmm. I want to write an HSC English essay on it.
Would you be willing to go back to high school, though, for that? That sounds like a nightmare.
Just for the term.
Okay,
just for
fine.
Just for the topic,
term.
The subject.
Yeah, okay, I get you.
And do you know, there's a... So this is a bit of a diversion.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, Love Actually, Love Actually, Love Actually. I read a I think it's Mamma Mia article that said, can we talk about two things about Love Actually?
Oh, okay.
Number one, can we talk about the way the character Natalie is referred to as fat all the way through?
Yes.
And in fact, she isn't.
Yeah.
And number two, can we talk about how women are portrayed and treated and spoken about in that whole movie? So I watched it a bit the other night and I went, yeah, you're right. This is actually quite uncomfortable.
So it's aged.
Yeah, it has aged. That's a big call. But then the other thing is I used to love movies from the 40s and watch them with Mum when I was little. And she said, you watch at the end of the movie, the woman will have to give up her career. And in the Christmas genre, she doesn't. In the Christmas genre, her dream comes true of being a full-time holiday decorator for people, where she goes into their sad, miserable little lives and fills it with horrible tall nutcrackers and things like that.
That is one interesting side note that I want to point out, that in every single shot of a Christmas movie, they have to remind you in the background that is Christmas.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one movie that I know is on Netflix that it's got a sequel. It came out this year called The Princess Switch.
Yep.
Amazing English accent from Vanessa Hudgens. Very impressed.
What an actor.
Yeah, I think it's the first thing I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, same. And it turns out I love her.
So she's your new favourite Christmas?
Look, I think it's a bit tween. I watched it last year.
Yeah.
And then I actually had a sick day for a most unusual thing for me.
You don't ever get sick?
No, and I didn't have COVID, but I still had to wait for my results.
Sure.
So I thought, I'm going to indulge in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful and lavish, and who can go past a palace?
So many Christmas trees.
The one that I'm just loving is that you inherit something.
Mm.
A Christmas inn.
Yes.
A Christmas inheritance.
Christmas bakery.
I don't know if I've seen a Christmas bakery.
So there was one, the movie was called Tennessee Christmas or Christmas in Tennessee, something like that.
That's
and I went,
good.
This already, the title's got me.
Ah.
And she had inherited a bakery.
Mm.
And of course, the developers were trying to come and take it because that's every second Christmas movie.
Yes.
And I realized this is the Lifetime Christmas movies, all have the same actors.
Yes.
So it's almost like an English panto.
Right?
Where they're all
circuit.
The same. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So every year they have the same people, just different characters, similar story, right? And I've also realised that Christmas movies are where famous TV actors from maybe the 80s, 90s go.
Turn up.
That's where that's what they're doing all year. It's making Christmas movies.
Making Christmas movies. The thing about, and you're right about the bad developers. So A Christmas Inn, absolute classic of 2020. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it.
Classic.
Same thing?
All the things.
Yep.
And I think it's in, it's in Alaska, the inn that she inherits.
Okay, so extra snowy.
Yeah, extra snowy. But she doesn't even wear gloves outside, you know, extra snowy.
Yeah.
And then there's another one where she inherits, another person inherits a cafe in Australia.
Oh, okay. So actual Australians or really bad impressions?
No, people that you recognise. That you go, how do I know that person? And it's from The Young Doctors when I was at school.
Yeah, right. There was another Christmas movie on Netflix called Holidate.
Love it.
One of the first ones I watched.
Luke Lacey.
I didn't know him.
Didn't know him either, except for once he was a guest questioner on Have You Been Paying Attention?
Yeah, okay. Do you think he was trying to get this show, this movie plugged? Bit of publicity?
No one talked about it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mind Holidate.
That was probably the first one I said.
That's where I started.
And I think it was probably the best one.
Mm.
Yeah. You had Emma Roberts, who is Julia's niece.
Mm.
She was great.
She was great.
I liked him more, though.
I loved him. There was no electricity between them, but that's another feature of the Christmas movie. The love interest, they have zero electricity.
They don't need it.
Well, they don't because there's one kiss at the end.
That's right. It's the Christmas spirit that's holding them all together.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the sequel of The Princess Switch?
I did because they brought in a third princess in inverted commas.
Slightly different accent.
It's a bit, what was that one? It's a bit The Princess Diaries,
mm-hmm.
which I like. But just that still that, what is this country you're talking about?
Yeah, this made-up country.
It got a bit confusing, I think, about who's who, what are we?
Well, there was also very little need for any switch.
Yes.
There was no need
for any switch.
No.
If people just said what was on their mind.
Yeah. And why did they have to, they hid it from the prince, like, don't let him know switching again.
He was hapless. I don't think he was quite so hapless in the first.
No, he had things to do.
Because she promised she'd never do it again.
She's lying.
Well,
she had lied.
Yeah.
There will be a third.
Well, they've got to have babies.
Yeah, exactly. And what if they all switch and then we all go, I don't know what's going on anymore, it's too much.
And that's the other thing, Leah, about Christmas movies. They are so referential. Because that the Princess Switch is what's the old, the Parent Trap.
Yeah, Parent Trap. I was going to say Freaky Friday, but that's the wrong one.
No.
Yeah.
May or may not be the same actress, but the Parent Trap.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Hayley Mills versus Jodie Foster.
Hayley.
Yeah.
Hayley all the way.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it how you can get away with, there's a course, obviously. You just do it online. You don't even have to attend.
Is this for the script writing?
Totally.
Mm. Mm.
Here's the things that you need to have.
Yeah.
A pullback to a small town.
Yes.
Gorgeous guy in the small town who you'll hate on instant.
Because he's a bit cocky.
Yeah, he's a bit cocky and he knows how to do up the inn and you don't.
That's right.
And he knows where the heating is and you're a big city girl.
I don't know. I've got no idea.
If I inherited an inn, I'm selling it straight to the bad developer.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
No connections.
Yeah.
And there's always the mysterious either older lady or man that come in and talk about their husband or wife, depending.
Yes.
And then it turns out that one of them's probably called Nick or Chris.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Santa is always in it.
He's been there all along.
Yeah. And they just needed to look in their own heart to find him.
Beautiful.
And the other thing about this movie, there's always a promotion involved.
Yeah, and that's riding on stuff.
Yeah.
That's the developer's problem.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah. Did you see the one about, it was a bit different.
Mm.
I don't even, it was called A Christmas Something.
Really?
Where she went with him to close the big deal that was going to save his company, ended up in an inn. The other thing they all do that I've never done in my life or even seen done is decorate Christmas cookies. That's a thing.
I did it once when I was in America staying with family friends and the mother said, hey, do you want to help the younger daughter do these cookies? And I went, that sounds fun. And then we finished and she said, thanks. Packed them all away so that she could take them to school. And I went, I don't even get a reward cookie?
A cookie.
I didn't get anything.
They're giant.
Oh, yeah, the bigger the better.
Mm.
They've got to be really big. as much red and green stuff as possible.
Mm.
I did make candy canes once.
Oh, yeah.
Like cookie candy canes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I two separate doughs, one red, red, pink, and one green. But the problem is when the green cooks, it goes a bit brown.
Oh, not good. My niece did the best Christmas cooking a couple of years ago. She made little gingerbread men that were exactly like the guy from Shrek, the little character from Shrek. Do you know that gingerbread?
He's missing a leg.
Yeah, not my cute little something buttons. Yeah, they made exactly those. It was very
cute. That's so good. One year we made Wookiees. Do you like Chewbacca?
Cool. Nice.
Because he looks like a gingerbread.
Nice. Well, they don't do that in Christmas movies.
No.
They're just standard. And it snows in. The other kind of theme is you can't get back
can't
to
get
where
out.
You want. You can't get there. Can't get back. Which is a bit trains, planes and automobiles sometimes.
That was Christmas too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that might have been. I don't know.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was. You wanted to get home for the holidays.
Yeah. All right. So let's have a look at probably one of the worst Christmas movies you've ever seen, and then have a look at one of your all-time favorites, like one that's actually good.
Yeah. Okay. I can do that.
So would you say that one of the worst ones you've watched is this year? From this year?
Yeah, the ones I've turned off.
Yeah. Oh, you've turned them off.
And that's tough. That's tough. Because I'm a pretty soft target. So there was one about a couple who had a radio program, best friends forever, of course.
Oh, that's really good.
And they had to fake they were in love. And on New Year's Eve, he was going to announce that they were in love.
On air?
Yeah, so that they could be syndicated.
Oh, great.
And I turned it off.
I don't think I'd be able to watch that because I would see too many issues.
Yeah.
Like technical problems.
I'd be that's never going to work.
Who's pressing that button?
Right. Pressing each other's buttons. As you can anticipate. Best one ever?
Yeah.
Family Stone.
Now, that's not with John Goodman, is it?
No.
I've got a different one
Sarah
in my mind.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Owen Wilson. No, Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson.
And who's the woman from Something's Got to Give and stuff.
Diane Keaton.
Yeah, Diane Keaton.
Always was skivvy.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. She was dying.
Oh,
I know. Rachel McAdams. A lot of people I love in it.
Yeah, yeah. This wouldn't be that old either, would it? Like the last 5 years potentially?
No, more.
Oh,
more.
Really?
I can picture where I was living. So 10,
okay.
Maybe even 15.
Okay.
I love that one. I
What's
love it.
What's it called again?
The Family Stone.
That might be one
Claire
that I'm
Danes.
Going to watch.
Claire Danes.
You've got everyone in there. Are they all siblings? Like the Rachel McAdams, Claire Danes, Sarah Jessica?
No, Sarah and Claire are.
Okay.
Rachel's a sibling of Luke Wilson and the guy who was probably the most famous then, but I can't think of his name.
I feel like I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
I really do.
It was nice. Lots of snow.
My favourite, of course, is Christmas Vacation with the Griswolds.
Oh, yeah.
Always watch that. It's a solid. I say I always watch it, but I probably haven't watched it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to.
Yeah.
It's all up here.
Yeah.
And I pointed at my head then.
Yeah, well, I got that. Yeah, your brain.
Yeah.
Not your heart.
No, it's not there.
But your brain.
Yeah.
I don't know why I am just gravitating to the pure schmaltz this year.
I think I know why. It's 2020.
Yeah, well, you have to think that's it.
Everyone's exhausted. Everyone just wants to, like you said, it's all comfort. You just want to go home. You just want to get some comfort.
Yeah.
Something to get rid of the collective anxiety.
Yeah, and the collective exhaustion.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I love Christmas anyway. I love decorations and I love the styling of it. And they're always styled the same way. There's nothing different.
Oh, no, you've got to have the colours.
There's a show on Netflix that, again, is horrendous.
Mm.
The guy's Mr. Christmas and it's...
I've seen a little bit of that.
It's a bit kind of Queer Eye, but at Christmas.
Yeah, I bowed out of that.
Yeah, I did too, because I didn't like the styling. It was...
Do you ever watch Nailed It, the cooking show, the baking show where people who can't bake, bake?
No, but I think I like it.
It's hilarious. Nicole Byer is the host.
Ah.
And the Christmas episode, or the holiday episodes they call it, are very, very funny.
Mm.
None this year because they couldn't make them,
yeah.
But it's worth watching. They do terrible jobs.
Yeah, okay, I'll have a look at that.
In the funniest way possible.
Yeah, I'll have a look at it.
Not serious. Nobody's taking it seriously except for Jacques, the French patisserie chef. He's like, I don't know why I'm here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You actually can't cook.
You can't.
Yeah. I love the kind of lavishness of it too. I love the meal that everyone's all happy and sitting there, and it's not even a kid's table. Everyone's there, and the turkey's big and
golden.
Beautiful. Again, I wouldn't eat it in a fit, but
people
I love
passing stuff around.
Yeah.
Throwing slops of, I don't know, mash or something.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah.
Let me set you up.
It's food that we don't really eat here. But I'm sure, you know, everywhere that is in the Northern Hemisphere probably do. Now, we're quite lucky here in Australia because we're able to actually see a lot of people for Christmas. But, you know, like being here in the studio, this is not unusual, as I'm sure, like, if you've been listening for the past however many months, we're always here.
Yes.
We're always here.
I do have my own microphone cover, I'm going to say.
That's right.
That's been my homage to COVID.
We wanted to get you was it a pink one?
It was pink.
But nobody could justify spending $60 on it.
Like the 20 on the black worker trade.
That's right. That's right. So we're allowed to go and have a proper Christmas. And, you know, for people listening who potentially cannot do that, we're thinking of you, but maybe just go and watch all of these movies.
Yeah, that's right. Because it all ends up happily in the end.
All happy. And by next year, you'll be able to do it.
You can still decorate the cookies.
You can. And in a Christmas Tennessee movie, I can't remember the actual title, they decorated their kitchen sink taps, which looked really annoying. Why put tinsel on that?
Oh, I am going to watch that movie.
Poor Patricia Richardson was having a terrible time.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Her main problem was not the taps, though. It was that she'd written this Christmas song and she may have to sing it herself on Christmas Eve, and that was going to be really awkward for
Christmas
her.
Christmas Eve's a big thing too, isn't it?
Well, that's where the magic is.
Well, that's, yeah.
And then by Christmas Day, it's like, right, we've got to go. Hurry up and unwrap that.
Yeah, you're right.
We've
got to go.
We're off.
In the car, off we go, pack the car.
Have you brought the mashed potatoes?
Yeah, the slop.
Yeah.
And the spoon.
That's right, the slop and the spoon, yeah. This has been exceptionally fun, and I feel even more Christmassy. And also the fact that at the beginning of this, I remembered to put Christmas music underneath this whole conversation. It's really helped.
Really nice.
And if I'm listening back to this, which I am, and I haven't done that yet, Leah, this is your reminder to do that. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you very much, Stephanie. And if people want to listen to your podcast, it's called Tech Live. We should talk about what it's about.
It's about the issues that as a lifelong learner, you want to know something about.
Yep.
But really it's about if you're a small or a mid-sized business, these are the things that are on your mind.
It's really, I listen to it, probably listen to it more than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
I've learned a lot about, because I'm not a leader, but I've learned about how leaders have to think. Mm. And I think that's really important. And if you are starting up a business or thinking of doing it, you're like, well, how do I treat people that are going to be working for me? I think there are some really good tips in there.
It's good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nice conversations too.
Yeah, really enjoyable conversations.
And I can tell that even though sometimes you know a lot of the stuff, you're also absorbing and learning.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel that's important as a leader too, right?
If you're not learning, there's no point.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's learning all the time. And perhaps there's been almost too many lessons this year. However, looking forward to being back in here with you next year, Leah, and more learning for everyone.
More learning for everyone. Stephanie, thank you very much.
Thanks, Leah.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Have you got anything else or should we get into this quiz?
Let's do the quiz. Everything can wait.
All right, this quiz is a Christmas quiz. I pre-warned you. We'll just rapid fire through these because I reckon you're going to get them.
All right.
Which Aussie department store is famous for its Sydney City Christmas window display? It's one of the two.
Yeah, it's got to be David Jones.
It is. In the movie Christmas Vacation, do the lights covering the house flash or not?
They do not.
Correct.
They are blinding.
Because his father-in-law goes, Clark, those little lights aren't flashing, twinkling. And he goes, I know, Bob, thank you for noticing. How many ghosts visit Scrooge in A Christmas Carol?
Three.
Do you want to revisit that?
So, do you want to rephrase the question as how many Muppets visit Scrooge at Christmas?
Technically, it's four. Like, it is the past, present, future, but also his business partner, Jacob
Crowley?
Marley?
Yeah, Marley. Jacob Marley.
So four. How many the Santa Claus films have there been?
All right. Is this because of my Santana Claus thing? All right, so there's one and two that had Tim Allen. And then I'm guessing there's a third one where his son takes over for him.
The Escape Clause from 2006. Three movies, yeah.
But Tim Allen was not involved in that one, I'm guessing. So. Who do you get to sub in for Tim Allen?
What was his name? One of his three kids in Home Improvement. I can't think of any of their names. Zachary someone. I can't remember their names.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Who unfortunately makes a cameo in Home Alone 2?
Oh, Trump. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. But I'm trying to think. There's got to be more people cameoing there.
Probably. I watched it last year and I can't remember.
It holds up.
Wasn't bad.
So much time for that film.
I like the lady with the pigeons.
The pigeon lady.
She's nice.
Doesn't sing about tuppence or nothing.
No, she doesn't, which is a shame.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Final Christmas quiz question for this week. Barbara Windsor died last week. Very sad. She was famous, of course, for starring in what felt like 40 million Carry On films. How many Christmas specials did they make?
Carry On?
Mm-hmm.
None?
No, they made one in 1969, one in 1970, one in 1972, and one in 1973. They got a lot of content out of Christmas.
Sure.
There are a lot of those films.
Woo! I don't think I've ever made it through a whole Carry On film.
So good. I watched one not long ago. They're a Sunday afternoon thing. You're ironing, you watch it.
In my head, it's completely entangled with Benny Hill. They're different things, aren't they?
Yeah, they are different, but not at the same time.
Because in my head, that's all Carry On. Ooh, Major. Ooh, Sir.
And it is all of that.
Boobs.
Yeah. So it's all of that without Benny Hill and the song.
But more boobs than I think, right? Wasn't that the whole thing? It was like, oh, my clothes fell off.
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing anything.
Oh, so it was all...
Yeah. It was all the covering up or... Yeah, exactly. You've made so many great sound effects in the past 30 seconds. I've loved it. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Fire me into the sun. I'm done.